You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles today. Please turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I appreciate you being here. The orange girls are here. I don't remember that's your maiden name. Their mom and dad are going to be on the Hall of Fame of people in the museum here. Atlas and Gloria, they were wonderful Christians. And I'm proud of you girls for being here tonight and today. And you bus teenagers, this is bus B division, I think, right? And I'm so glad you're here. Those kids are heroes to me. I mean it. They get themselves out of bed in the morning and get to church. And I appreciate you so much. I just pray the Holy Spirit of God to convey to you how much I love you. And every Sunday, Brother Luke, every Sunday they come. And I appreciate you so very much. All of God's people tonight, big crowd here and lower floor. And God wants to do something in your heart today. God wants to do something in my heart today. Last night at men's prayer, I said, Brother Poussin, it's been years since you've given your testimony. He stood and he said, 41 years ago, I believe? He said, I think he was a prison guard. He goes, my grandmother, she used to sit right over here. She invited me to church and I said, I'll come tomorrow. And Curtis Hutchin was preaching that Sunday morning. And he walked the aisle and he just said two words, I believe. I don't know all about it, but I believe. And he got saved and been married. He's been our Filipino pastor for years now. And I thank God for him. Today's maybe your day. You know, it's appointed unto a man wants to die. Everyone in this room is going to die. And some preacher will preside over your casket and he'll be able to say, you're saved, you're born again, or I don't know. Or you're lost. I hope everyone in this room is saved. And if not, at the invitation today, come and get saved. Let's stand together, please. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. As you turn to Genesis chapter 1, we'll read two verses together. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. I am speaking on Father's Day. Ready? Verse 25, 6 and 27. Ready? Begin.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image.
For prayer. Father, I thank you for this precious day. It's a wonderful day. Thank you for the 15th day of June of 2025. And I pray that God, you would speak to my heart and speak to the heart of the people here. God, cause everyone to stay alert. And I pray that in the few moments we're together, we would gain from your word what masculinity is all about. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Masculinity, needless to say, is under attack in America. We can all say amen to that. So articles are being written daily against masculine men. The feminist movement is full swing. The liberals are fighting for men. Brother Whitlow, can you believe it? They're fighting for men to go into the locker rooms with girls in high school and take showers together. Let me say that again. They're fighting to have men go into the locker rooms and take showers with high school girls. That's ludicrous.
Yes, sir.
That's crazy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what type of society? We're abounding with abortion. Leading country in all the world. More abortion than any other country is the United States of America. Over 65 million have now died at the hands of the abortionist crowd. We're humanistic. We're anti-God. We're anti-Bible. We're anti-church. I want to speak today on masculinity from a biblical point of view. And I did not know, my message has been typed for this week, I did not know that our president yesterday was going to speak on masculinity. I won't quote his whole speech, but I will say this. He said this yesterday, America's fathers are the custodians of our strength, the leaders of our family, and protector of our security and safety. My administration pays tribute to every father whose full love, heroic devotion, inspiring example are molding the next generation. My administration will continue to stand with fathers from this toxic gender ideology. Let me say that one more time and give you an opportunity. That's an amen right there, folks. From toxic gender ideology. Two genders, male and female, into discussion. Not 67. Keeping our neighbors safe by backing law enforcement. There's been much discourse in this day diminishing the traditions of masculinity as toxic behavior. That's just a portion of what the president said. I can't say I agree with him on everything, but I agree with him on everything he just said there. Men, you're the backbone of your home. You're the backbone of this church. We could not make it. I preached on Mother's Day about we can't make it without mothers. We have to have mothers. We have to have godly mothers. We have to have wives. We have to have ladies. There's more mention about ladies in the Bible oftentimes, that first at the cross, last at the cross, first at the tomb, and at the tomb, first at the resurrection. Thank God for mothers. And I love mothers. But there has to come a day where men, you rise up and become a man. And ladies, you have to dedicate yourself to make your husband into a man of God. That's your job. That's your task. And when you fail at that, you fail at the home. America is under siege right now. Our streets are rioting. People are against God is what it is. They're against freedom. They're against liberty. They're against men. What, I don't even know what television programs are on, but all the television programs are on are showing the stupidity of man. How dumb man is, how idiotic, but a woman comes to rescue all the time. And today I want to put a stop to all that through what is masculinity? Well, masculinity, you read, were created beings. Look what the Bible said. And let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We are made after the likeness of God. And the Bible says, and let him have dominion. We're going to get back to that word. So verse 27, God created man in his own image, in the image of God. We did not evolve. We don't believe in evolution. Evolution is so foolish because it begins at the first, it has to be a bang. Where'd the bang come from? And the bang that exploded billions of years ago, they said, all of a sudden it had the molecules. Where'd the molecules come from? Where the speck of dirt come from? Like every snowflake is surrounded around a speck of dirt. That's why God's word says, you'll be whiter than snow when you get saved. But where'd that speck of dirt come from? And that speck of dirt began to grow and grow and went into the water. Where'd the water come from? You've got to be a nut to believe in evolution. And then all of a sudden, that burped up for millions of years on the seashore. Where'd the seashore come from? And where'd that blob come from? And all of a sudden it popped out a leg and popped out another leg, popped up an arm, and all of a sudden it started to crawl around. I can't get any lower, but it crawled around for millions of years. Did not have a mother to say, stand up straight. Instead, he crawled around. He was swinging from tree to tree. His tail caught hold and he fell on the ground and he fell this way. And now his health is back and he's strong now. He can stand straight now. If you believe that, I have some beachfront property in Nevada I want to sell you. You've got to be a nut to believe in evolution. You've got to be absolutely an idiot See, I can't believe this guy is calling me an idiot. What'd you do yesterday? I'm going to ask you at work tomorrow. I went to church. What did the guy preach on? I don't know. He just yelled at me the whole time. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just telling you, we're not evolved. We are created individuals. In the beginning, God created. Our schools do not teach that. But that's exactly what took place. Male masculinity is the creation of God. This is God's idea. Secondly, not only are we created, but we're to have dominion. God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Dominion is a strong word right off the bat for man. It means to rule. It means to dominate. Men are not to be effeminate. Men are not to look like women, not to have long hair. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Don't wear necklaces and don't wear earrings and don't become a woman. If you're a man, be a man. Have dominance. Have strength. You know, I looked up, and I'm not going to tell you from Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew language or in the Greek language, but I'll call it, let me come down to all of our level. I looked up under Wikipedia. Wikipedia is not some fundamental Baptist blog. Is that a blog? Is that what you call it? Whatever it's called. Website, whatever it is. But here's what, you look at the word masculinity. Here is what, look it up yourself right now if you're tired of my preaching. Look what masculinity says. To be masculine is to be manly. That puts aside all sissy behavior. Manly. It means to be strength, courage, independence. It means leadership. It means dominion. It means the breadwinner. It means not, this is Wikipedia, not effeminate. God didn't create you as a boy to act like a girl. God created you as a boy to act like a boy that's going to eventually be a man one day with responsibility and have dominion. You're to rule. That's under attack too. You're to rule fish of the sea. You're to rule animals. Well, let's preserve all the animals. Go kill them. See how quiet it got in here? Man's supposed to have dominion. Man's supposed to have leadership. Man's supposed to rule. Man has been given the job to rule his family. That's why the word husband, H-U-S, is the Latin word house. House band. You band your house together. Sir, what are you doing spiritually with your house? Are you praying with your children every single night? As they go to bed at night, you tuck them in bed. Are you praying with your children? Are you playing dolls with your little girls, fellas? It's okay to play dolls. Are you building a city in a sandbox with your boys? Are you spending time with your family, not once a month, not once a year, not once on vacation, but every single day? Are you making deposits in their life to train them up as young ladies and young men? Your boys are going to learn how to dominate a home and lead a home as they watch a father lead their home. But you don't have many examples of that today, do you? Spiritually. Are you praying with your kids? Financially, are you teaching your children how to handle money? Are you teaching them how to handle money? Are they saving money? Are they paying their bills with their money? Do they have good credit? As a young person, do they know how to manage money? You're going to be off the scene, fellas. And you're going to leave your son to dominate or to be dominated. God's word said, let him have dominion. Amen. Man has been given that charge, not woman. Look what the Bible says, chapter 2, verse 15. Look at the work ethic, number 3. The Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Boys need to learn how to work early in life. Now let me say something, as loving and as kind as I can say it. We are fastly changing to a computer society, a cell phone society. Years ago, a corporate man, a venture capitalist who owned a company, and he retired at age 44, moved away from here. He was a good man. Really helped our church a lot. Built houses and built a beautiful place. But he told me years ago, "Pastor, if you want to invest money, invest in computer games." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Invest in computer games." I said, "Well, I don't have any money to invest." But why would a parent? I remember saying, why would a parent want to invest in computer games for his kids? I watch these kids and they're on these computers. And he goes, no. You're not going to make money off of investing in computer games for kids. I said, well, who's it for? He goes, their dads and moms. You know what? He was right. People have made billions of dollars creating apps for you, or is that, I don't know if you call it app, whatever it's called. Hold it. Look right here. I know you're not going to agree with me on this. Not one man in this room should come home from work and start a network of playing video games with other guys around the Silicon Valley. Not one man. Not one man. Your wife's, sir, if you're married, your wife is going to get tired of that. I put away childish things. Don't play video games. Don't be staying up all. Years ago, we had a neighbor over here. Kaepernick was my neighbor over here. Just lived right. He rented a house his first year. And then I had another right across the street from my house when we lived across the street. He was a 49er. And I said to him one night, I said, now, I'll call him George. That wasn't George. I noticed all these 49ers coming over. I get up in the middle of the night, look out the window. They're in your house. What are you guys doing? You're watching film for the next game? He goes, oh, no. We're playing video games. And he said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. We really would rather play the video games than real football. Fellas, come to the altar and get it right with God and say, no more video games for me. Build something. Spend that time in prayer. Spend that time in the Word of God. Spend that time raising your children. Spend that time with your wife. Do something of value, but do not play video games. I mean zero. Don't even waste your time. People send me my phone. I don't know how it's set up, but it's set up that I can't get on the Facebook and all that. But my phone, people send me videos all the time, and I have to text back saying, I'm so sorry. You want me to watch this, but I can't watch it. I don't know how to watch it. And they're good videos about church work and all. I know I'm got to be the laughing stock of America. But by God's grace, one of these days, and perhaps sooner than not, I'm going to end my journey. I want to have a good testimony for that lady who's in church today.
Yes, amen.
I want to have a testimony that I was a man and I worked hard and I prayed hard and I studied hard and I visited people and I prayed for people and I worked with people. Amen. And I was a family man. I was a husband, a father, grandfather 14 times. I want there to be some value to my life. Not some, he was a world champion video player. What is that about? Stop it. I mean, literally stop it. Just get rid of it. It's getting quiet in here now. Number four, chapter 2, verse 24. Masculine men have independence. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Our girls got married young. They fell in love, got married, married preachers and serving God. They've been married 20 and 25 years now. Our son did not get married. Was he 25 when he got married? 26, 25, and he lived at home. He graduated from college. He was on my staff. But we were coming to the point, and he knew we were, that he had to be gone. He was in our home. He got married in Iowa and walked out of our home and got engaged, got married. But there comes a time, mothers and dads, you listen to me. Some of you kids need to get out of your parents' home. Not at age 18. I've heard of dads in this church, your kids turn 18, said, you're out the door. They're still a kid. They're still trying to get situated in life, what they believe, what they're trying to do. Don't kick them out of your house at 18. Don't kick them out of your house at 20. But somewhere along the line, if you're going to be a man, you have to leave your father and mother. And you have to get a job and work a job and save money. Here's a guy, 40 years of age. He's been working since 16. He's been working 24, 25 years. He lived with mom and dad. He should have $1 million saved for a down payment for a house. You leave your father and mother. I recall all of our boys left their mom and dad. I have never offered really advice to my sons, all three of them. I'm very, very cautious about that because they've left me. Now, if they have a question on something, I'll be sure to answer it. But I normally answer it by, what do you think you should do? What do you think God's telling you to do on this subject? How do you think God's leading you? What's the Spirit of God telling you about this situation? I don't have to govern my kids. I'm not narcissistic. All me-centered. No, I want to lose our kids. My dad taught me this when I was a boy. On the night I got saved in our church 69 years ago, I was sitting on this side, my dad, my mother, and my two sisters. I said to him one time, I said, Dad, why don't I want to sit between you and Mom. He goes, oh, no, we're a couple. You're going to leave us, son. Oh, I'm going to live with you forever. No, you're not. You're going to leave us. And I'm going to sit with this lady, so I might as well just start sitting with her now and stay. You kids can sit on either side, but you're not coming between us. And I'll never forget him saying that as a young boy to me. And guess what I did? I left him 52. I left him good night more than that. I left him at age 18. I went off to college and never came back home. I was his pastor for 33 years. He'd sit right there where you folks are sitting today. And my mother would sit right there for 33 years. And I loved them and they loved me. My dad never offered one bit of advice to me about how to pastor this church or what to do or about my marriage. And I didn't want to ask him because he'd always take my wife's side. He thought she hung the world. Now, Mama, she wouldn't take my wife's side. She'd take my side. There's a last thing. Chapter 22, verse 17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. From the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Masculinity has prohibition. You have to say no to some things. The guys at work say, stop by, let's get a beer after work. You have to say no.
Amen.
They don't want a beer, they just want to hang out. You have to say no. You're married now. You have a wife. Those guys are going to leave you next year. They'll have a different job, but you got your wife for life. There has to be some no's in our life. Fellas, today, what no's do you have? What no's? What literally no? No, I'm not going to do that. You lose your job. You can't tithe. Are you going to tithe?
Amen.
Yeah, that should be a no. So, no, I'm not going to steal from God. I'm tithing. I get an unemployment check, I'm tithing. I sell my house and move out of this area, I'm tithing. I make money, I'm going to tithe. God's going to have ownership of my life. That's male masculinity. Where we say, no, no, I'm not going to watch these videos. No, I'm not going to that website. No, I'm not going to that situation. No, 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 no. You're married? Have eyes for one woman. Till death do us part. Your wife should not have to suffer through your adultery. Your wife should not have to suffer through your immorality. Mistrust. Stopping off after work with women. Spending time with other women, doing things that are not convenient or not correct, or they're sinful in themselves. That's being a man. I wish I could say I'm the perfect example. I'm not the perfect example. But I have tried my very best to be loyal to that lady. Amen. This December to be 53 years we've been married. I can be in a casket tomorrow down in the front of this church and say he was loyal to his wife. He was dedicated to his children. He was dedicated to his grandchildren. He was dedicated to this church. I pray it's not that one reason we stayed here all these 50 years is because I wanted to have a root, a foundation. Something for my wife, something for my kids. They can always go back home. I don't want to be jumping all over the map. That's masculinity. It's dominance. That's what masculinity is. It's created in God's image. That's masculinity. It's prohibition. No, I'm not going to. It's work ethic. You get a job and you work. I pastor the greatest church in all the world. Why? Because I have masculine men here and feminine women. And because of that, God's blessing your lives with your family, your children, and you're giving something to the next generation.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.